Are you searching for a deeper understanding of yourself and your place in the world? Do you yearn for more balance, more peace, and purpose in your life? Well, look no further than the Intuitive Revolution Podcast, your trusted source for holistic insights and intuitive guidance. I'm your host, Alicia Ferricelli, and I am ready to take you on a journey to inner peace and balanced well-being. Kristen Anderson is a manifestation mentor renowned for her ability to utilize a diverse array of tools to elevate her clients to their highest possible vibration. Witnessing the transformative shifts in those she works with, she brings immense joy, often described by her clients as life-changing. Kristen identifies herself as a wanderer, a being who has returned with a mission to assist in the shift of the collective consciousness. Her primary goal is to elevate every individual she encounters, starting with her own family. Additionally, Kristen is the author of Roll the Dice, a story of initiation, reclamation, and empowerment, where she delves deeper into her journey and mythologies, furthering showcasing her commitment to empowerment and spiritual awakening. Thanks, Kristen, for joining us today. You guys are in for such a treat. She is such an amazing person. My dear friends, I'm just super, super excited to get to learn more about her, have her journey, everything she's got going on with her business. She's doing some fabulous, fabulous things. So thanks again, Kristen, for coming out and joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm excited.
Well, Kristen, your journey as a manifestation mentor is truly inspiring. Can you share how you discovered your ability to elevate others into their highest vibrations?
Ooh, yeah. So manifestation mentor is sort of a new term that I just kind of made up for myself. I didn't really know what to call it, but I have the ability to look at patterns in a really unique way and put them together. It's like a puzzle. But I think because I've gathered information from so many different places, I have a unique view and I can help people see things that maybe they can't see and put it together in a unique way that gives them a new lens, a new perspective, a new way of viewing at possible challenges in their life. And it just helps them to move faster, like much faster. And when you start to move faster like that, you just manifest things faster. So yeah, I mean, it's something that I've always done, but it was never my career.
Okay, I was about to ask, how did you get started on this?
Yeah, it's something that I've always had the ability to do, but I never thought of it as work because I just do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think at some level, I feel like work should be hard, right? And this was not hard for me. It's just very easy for me to come in and like look at somebody's home situation, relationships, and just be able to pick out very clearly like the next step.
Yeah.
And I just never thought of it as work because it's just something that I do. And I've done it for my friends over the course of my life. And, you know, usually if people have a problem, they come to me with it.
Yeah.
Like, well, Kristen will have the answer or some insight, you know?
Yeah.
And I do, but I never thought of that as a job. So it's only recently that I'm moving into creating that as an actual career.
That's so cool. I love it. I personally have seen your growth from the things you're doing and just the sparkle on your face now as you've transitioned to this. Though it's such an awesome thing.
Thank you. Yeah, I was a photographer for a very long time, and it was a skill that I had that I was good at. But it never really, like, I'm good at it and I love doing it. I love when I have somebody in my studio, especially one-on-one doing a portrait. But the reason I love it is not because I love photography. I love the people.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Total sense.
So it was always having the conversation with somebody while they're in front of my camera. That's the part that lights me up. Not necessarily taking the pictures. Of course, the pictures that we get later are really dynamic and unique and real.
Yeah.
And I think people really resonate with that. But I have heard numerous times from people who have had a portrait with me and been in front of my camera that it's less like a portrait session and a little more like a therapy session. Because we always go deep. I can't not go deep. It's just kind of
who you are.
Me. It's who I am. Yeah.
Some of the qualities I love about you. So
thank you.
Yeah. You mentioned the profound shifts in your clients' experience. Can you share a memorable story where you witnessed a life-changing transformation?
Oh my gosh. I have just a recent one that just happened. I worked with a friend of mine and she became my client for a home clearing. And I call it the ultimate makeover. So basically we clear your home, we upgrade your energy, we edit your closet, we feng shui your home,
wow,
and organize everything. And then we put a protective barrier around and call in whatever you're calling in, like calling in your future. It's a lot of layers of manifesting, because in order to properly manifest, you need all the layers activated.
Yeah.
Right. A vision board is nice, but where is it and what's on it? And are you really clear on that? And are you actually dressing like that? Is your home blocking the energy, even though you have the vision board there? Right.
That's a good one.
So you have to like really add all the layers. So anyway, we did her home and it takes about 2 days for this to happen, which people are like, oh, what? You can do this in 2 days? Some people think it's a lot, but some people think it's not enough.
Yeah.
But 2 days is pretty standard. I can get through a pretty big house in 2 days. And like a week later, she got a boyfriend. That was one of the things she was calling in.
Wow.
I couldn't even believe that was so fast.
Wow.
But you know, she was aligned with that intention. We lined up everything else with that intention and it dropped in. So I'm just really blown away by that, the speed for which it happened for her. It doesn't happen for everyone that way.
So almost like it was on the very cusp of happening. It was just something blocking that you were able to clear. That's so cool.
Yes, yes, exactly. It was like on the verge, but it wasn't. Yeah, she was holding it out of her sphere unknowingly. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And like you said, obviously it doesn't happen like that for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's important that, you know, one, you're really clear on what you want. And I think your reasons for wanting it have to be deeply rooted in a why that is beneficial for everyone. Even when it comes to a relationship, you know, you want it to be beneficial for everybody else around you as well. Because you could have, you know, you might be like, I want this guy and he's so cute and I don't care. I just want him, right? But that form of, let's say, magic, right? When you're manipulating somebody else, it can happen, but you're going to have issues, because when you manipulate somebody else, you're just in for trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just don't like do it.
Yeah. You got bad karma coming from the relationship.
Yeah. You'll have something will go amok because you're not aligned. You know, you're forcing it.
That makes so much sense.
Right? Yeah. The power that we have to manifest things is amazing. It's just more than we could even imagine. And getting that into alignment, feeling where that is, it's a feeling that you have to sort of wash into. And you'll feel it settle in the grooves. And you're like, oh, there it is. There's that feeling where it can happen, like boom.
Yeah. Once you get the barriers, you're tapping it. That's to me tapping into your intuition.
Yeah.
When you tap into that, everything, and you keep in that alignment. And leave the manipulations out, ladies and men.
Yeah. It's possible. You can do it. I've done it, you know, where I'm like, I'm going to get this person and, you know, I'll work on it and make it happen. But then it's never quite as satisfying as you imagine that it would be because, you know, you're just not in alignment. So yeah. You're going to have a lot of issues cropping up there. You just don't think the same. Yeah. You don't want to do the same things. It's just not pleasurable like you were hoping.
It's almost like a game, you know, it's like, oh, I kind of captured that, you know, it's like the cat and mouse chase game with relationships that happen. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. You might be pleased with yourself that you were able to make something happen. And that's cool to actually have that experience and be like, hey, I can do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not as satisfying.
It's not. And you're also playing with other people's life and emotions and and stuff too. So I'm glad you, thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, I think it's a important thing. And a lot of people, you know, and I was one of them a long time ago who just wouldn't, I didn't quite understand the really getting clear on what you really want and not letting the things that you think you should want be what you're asking for, if that makes sense, right? There's a lot of things that we think we should want. You should want this job. You should want this life. You should want this white picket fence relationship with the three kids and the dog and the cat and the, you know, but that's not really deep down. That might not be what your soul is after. So getting clear on that is really important.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that. How do people get clear on it? What's some techniques that you would, three of them that you would tell people to start with today to get clear on their intentions and manifestations?
Number one is sit with your feelings.
Mm.
Really. Because if you think about something that you might want and then just imagine it happening and allow the feeling of it to permeate your body, and then see what you come up with, because you might be shocked at the feelings that start coming up. It might bring you anxiety. It might actually feel like stress, you know? So maybe that's either not the thing that you need to go for, or maybe there's some blocks there that you need to work through in order to get that to happen.
Yeah.
Right. I think sitting with your feelings, I would say that's one, two, and three, sitting with your feelings about something that you think you might want. I say, make a list, like, you know, this is so old. If you had billions of dollars, what would you do? Right. What would you do with yourself? Yeah. What would you do with that? And make a list and just do a brain dump on that and then go through each one and sit with it and feel it.
Yeah.
What would it feel like to live in a mansion with a yacht and all these friends? Now, okay, if I'm thinking of like a bunch of friends on a yacht, everyone's drinking champagne, and immediately my brain thinks, yeah, are they your friends?
Yeah. When are they going to leave so I can go home and go to bed?
Right? Are these really your friends? Are they just friends with you because they want a boat ride?
Right.
So that's that feeling of anxiety or unsure. So that leads back to like, what is your why here? Yeah. Why do you want a boat with friends? Or maybe you just want to experience friends and it has nothing to do with the boat. You don't need a boat to experience friends.
Right.
Right. So, and then whittling that down to get really down to the why of your desire. I don't know if those are three actionable steps.
I think that was enough to start with, because I think that's been when people get really clear on their whys, they're going to know the next step to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to know exactly what they want. And that's the biggest thing is, like, when I work with clients too, it's like, well, what are you wanting out of this? You know, people say if they want lots of money, you don't want the money, you want the experience, but you want the experience, you really want the feeling. So it all goes back down to, how do you want to feel? Because you can feel these experiences without, you can have the feeling without the experiences. You can create that which is such a cool thing to when you realize that. Of course, the experiences help and their experiences are great. I'm not saying all that stuff is not a good things, but it's really at the end of the day, when you hit top level, are you going to be happy?
Yeah, because it's that feeling, you know, and that's why sitting with the feeling is so important. So you sit with the feeling of the thing that you think that you want and see what it actually feels like. And then, you know, you, like you were saying, you can just cultivate that feel, the feeling that you want, irrespective of whatever's showing up in your environment, just cultivate it within.
Yeah.
For whatever, their coffee that you woke up this morning, like whatever it is, a beach walk.
Yeah.
Just cultivate that. And then, you know, your environment will eventually align with that feeling.
Yep. Yep. And that's so funny. It's like for years, like, why don't things all happen? I'm like, then when I read books and I started learning about it, I'm like, you have to have the same feelings. Like, well, I'm wanting this shiny new car, not a car, whatever, but I feel like I can't, don't deserve it. So why is the universe going to give it to me? Why is it going to come to me? If I don't feel it and feel worthy enough of it.
Yeah. One of the very first teachings that I had in this realm, like from the outside, I want to say from the outside coming in, because a lot of where my wisdom comes from is just from the inside.
Right.
It just is a remembrance more than a learned procedure. But this one lecture that I heard, I forget exactly. It was Kevin Trudeau.
Okay.
I don't know if you know who he is, but he had a lecture, a friend shared it with me, and he said, the masters all work on a feeling. Mm-hmm. That's it. They don't even bother specifying what it is that they want coming in. They only work on the feeling. That's the high level technique. Cultivate your feelings on purpose, with intention, moment by moment. That's like the most masterful way to manifest.
I like that you mentioned moment by moment. I think that's very important, because we get into such a rat race of like, oh, and then we get stressed out. And so we're away from that feeling. So it's literally a moment by moment thing you have to bring. It's like meditation. You got to bring yourself back to center. Where am I want to be?
It's constantly. It's hard.
It is.
It's probably, you know, they say thinking is the hardest work that man ever does, like using your brain, but not letting your brain run wild, but taming it, mm-hmm. controlling it, cultivating it, and creating that feeling on purpose with intention. Yeah. Every second, because life pulls you away.
So quickly.
Yes. So quickly. So you constantly have to, get back on the horse, it's moment to moment by moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the more that you practice, the better you get at it. So it is a practice like yoga or anything, really.
Speaking of moment to moment, elevating beings begin with your family, which family is always moment to moment, you said. How do you incorporate these spiritual practices at home, and how has it impacted your family dynamic?
That's a good question. So I recently moved next door to my parents, like a few years ago. And before that, I would have to say my mom and I definitely were like the same being, but completely opposite. So where I am mostly a positive thinker, she is mostly a negative thinker. And we have butted heads a lot. But since moving here and really being strong in my practice of loving what is moment to moment and really having gratitude for everything, I've been able to, I would say, balance the dynamic there more without being defensive or try and explain positivity and just being in a state of love and gratitude, no matter where that the negativity is, like just allow the negativity. And that's just this person's experience and just love them there. And that has shifted the whole dynamic of our relationship for sure.
Yeah. I feel like that's super important. We try to change people and we can't change people. So we really have to come from them from a place of love, where they're at, total acceptance. Of course, there are situations I'm going to, you know, that does not need to happen. But on a general family dynamic, it's just a lot of loving acceptance of the people, their experiences, and just realizing that's where they're coming. All the, like you said, negativity comes from fear, from past experiences, this lifetime, past lifetimes, whatever's tracing down for, you know, through that.
Yeah. And knowing, you know, I can't change that, and just giving love anyway, you know, instead of fighting it, just give it extra love. And that's really been a game changer. And that's kind of how I work with most situations that are not my personal ideal, is just give it a lot of love and compassion. And that's kind of all you really need to do, because that it does transmute it and dissolve it into something else. It's just, that's the capacity of love and compassion and gratitude for what is that it does transmute it. You don't have to fight it. Just love it.
Yeah.
It sounds so simple. It's definitely harder to do than it is to say.
Yeah.
The simplicity of it is deceiving, because it is very difficult, simple, but hard.
Yeah. Our ego is getting in the way. We want what's, I mean, and, you know, we always want to be right as a person. And our idea, ego's idea of right, is force and fight and stand up for itself, you know, change and something different. And it's not always the best situation.
Yeah. This is a case of like, you're not right. You're right for you.
Right.
But you don't know their life and experience, and what they're doing is right for them. So just let it be. They're on their own journey.
Absolutely. They chose the path. This is the one, what they need to go down. And then, I mean, we always, I feel like, especially, well, as coach, as part of coaches, like, we want to like change everything. We want to like make it all better. But sometimes you got to sit back and be like, no, you need to go through this. You need to suffer through this, because this is what your soul's path is for. You have lessons to learn on this. And if we make it right, it's like children too. We'll make everything right for them. They're never going to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Doing things for other people does nothing for other people.
Yeah.
Like, you really need to just let them do their thing and make their choices. The sovereignty of each being is, you know, the utmost importance. Because our souls are here for so many different reasons and to clear so many different things. And you just don't know what somebody else is up to. You know, you just, how can you know that? It's their life. So just loving them where they are, you know, but like going back to what I do and how I can see the patterns in other people's situations, that's just beneficial to just maybe help them see in a way that they weren't seeing before, so they can make different choices. I don't make the choices for them.
Right, right.
Just like, maybe just bring this little tidbit into your awareness and then see what you want to do.
The key is they're asking for your help too.
Yeah.
You know, they're not, I feel like find times, like we have so many people, I found on social media too, people just putting their opinions out on things and trying to change everything. And it's just, it creates chaos. And so just sitting back, letting people kind of live their lives and go down their paths they want. If they don't want the help, they don't want the help. They want the help, then, you know, that's what you're there for.
Yeah. Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah.
But you're not going to receive if you don't ask.
Right.
You know, and that goes for just each individual person just asking for, you know, spiritual help or help from God or Jesus or Allah, whoever you believe in. I don't know. Right. But, you know, if you're not going to ask for it, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
So, and that's like one side of, you know, if you don't ask, you don't get, but don't expect if you're not asking. Because I think a lot of people just expect that other people will come in and help them.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in that victim mentality and you're like, why is this happening to me? Somebody help me. But they're not asking for help. They're like, why isn't somebody helping me?
They're asking to stay in that victimhood. They are asking. They're just asking for the thing that they want out of.
Yeah, it's a very tricky it's like a slippery slope in that little area where the difference between being a victim and being in control is like this very minute shift in perception. And trying to explain it to somebody is difficult, I think, so that they actually get it and embody it and can use it.
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, I've been called out on it multiple times. Like, we all go down victimhood. I mean, we're human beings. We're going to have some type of victim mentality in us. But being called out on it is very important at times, too. But there were times in my life, if somebody told me I was a victim, I would have probably almost wanted to smack them.
Right.
Because I was in so much pain and so much hurt at the time. But I didn't realize I was victimizing myself inside of all of that and creating all of that. And I was like, why are they not happening? Why was everything? Why am I like stuck in? It's because I was calling that out.
Yeah.
Like, well, this is what you want more of this, right? Here's some more of it. Like, I don't want any more of this, but it goes back to what you said before. I was not clear on what I did want. On the feeling that I wanted to feel.
I just was rewriting my book because I read it for the first time not that long ago. And I was like, oh, dang, that's a hot mess. So I'm rearranging things and expanding. But I was just talking about that exact thing this morning. Gosh, now it just escaped me. What was it that you just said?
Just being in a victimhood and not really knowing what I wanted, what to ask for, what feeling I wanted.
Right. So the victimhood is basically you're just not taking radical responsibility. It's radical responsibility. You have to have it. If you don't have that, you are in victim mode. Mm-hmm. You might not even know it, but if you're not taking responsibility for everything that shows up, you are in victim mode because that means that some outside force is causing it to happen in your life. And if you're allowing an outside force to cause something in your life, that's like the definition of victimhood. You're a victim of an outside force.
Yeah.
So in order to change that, you have to take responsibility for everything that shows up. Once you claim that control of everything that shows up, then you can consciously choose and make it happen, make things happen the way you want them to happen because you now have responsible control.
And you're also allowing at that point, instead of pushing, I feel like you're allowing things in.
Yeah. You're inviting them in.
Yeah.
Right. You've opened the door for things to come to you that you desire.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you just said that. And it reminded me of this old saying that I just absolutely love. What you allow is what will continue.
Yep.
Right? So if you're allowing shit at your door, it's going to keep coming because you haven't said no. You haven't said no, that's my door and I like to keep it clean.
Yeah. You haven't
owned it. You can take that back. Thank you.
Yeah. Take your boxes, your shit out the door.
Yes, take your shit and go. Got my own shit.
And the door's locked. You can't come in. Keys to everything you didn't change to.
Right. Right.
Awesome. So speaking about in your book, you delve into a wealth of wisdom. Can you share a key concept or idea that you feel is crucial for deepening intuition and self-love?
I would say, again, like feeling. For intuition, I would say just sitting with your emotions and feeling. And one of the things that we do in the vision vortex, which is the energy pyramid work, mm-hmm. is we sit and we feel. And I always say this, and I love this too. It's like, I don't wear a lot of jewelry, because when I actually start to sit and feel in my body, like right now I'm feeling my jacket. I'm feeling this around my arm, right? I'm feeling the necklace on that weight of it around my shoulders.
Yeah.
That's not what you want to be feeling when you're sitting and feeling. You want to feel the electrical impulses of your body. If you're not used to feeling that, anything that you have restricting your body, like, okay, bra strap, underwear, like the waistband of your pants, all that stuff is going to pull your attention. Mm-hmm. So I like to wear something very loose fitting when I'm sitting and listening to the body impulses, yeah. because I can really feel it clearer.
Yeah.
Without the interruptions. Like, I'm even feeling my earrings like in my ears.
Yeah.
Right? You can feel all that. So I take all that off, wear something really loose, and sit and listen to your body. That's how you will figure out your intuition. And the more you practice that, the better you'll get at knowing that that is your intuition. And that's not a meditation, although I do come about meditation in a different way, because for me, I call it sitting and listening.
Yeah.
That is, to me, meditation. There's a lot of different types of meditation. There's breathing techniques and mantras, visualization, guided meditations, clearing your mind. And there's so many, right? There's even more. There's Tonglen meditation, which I love. But this particular one is just listening.
Yeah.
And expanding your awareness of sound and hearing. And you will hear, you'll start to hear the messages. You'll start to feel them in your body. Yeah. But not if you're not listening.
Nope.
If you're in your meditation, or like some people are like, well, I pray, that's my meditation. Well, okay, that's great. You're praying and you're asking for all of these things and you're asking for help. But are you listening for the answer?
Yeah.
you're praying. And this isn't happening and that's not happening. Why isn't my prayer happening? Because like, maybe you're not listening for the answer.
It is. You just haven't listened.
Yeah. You gotta listen. If you're not going to listen, then you're not going to learn.
That's such a game changer from growing. Well, the way you grew up in a really strict Christian household is like, just you talk to God. And then it wasn't really taught to me that to listen to him. Mm-hmm. You don't listen to him by the one book you got. That was all the information you get from him. That's it. That's the way my perception of it now is. So once you sat back and I really gotten more into meditation, and the prayer is just like, and then sitting there, to me, prayer, meditation, connecting to spirit, got like, that's, it's all one thing to me, because that's how I'm the same way. I get in there. I want to listen. I want messages, something coming back to me. I want to feel whole, complete, connected. There are breath works different. That's releasing stuff for me. Other meditation, guided meditations are great, but it's really just the sitting and listening portion. I don't know. I crave it every day too. I'm sure you do too.
Yeah. I feel like that is the part where you start to really get in touch with your power, which is connected to self-love, because when you realize how powerful you actually are, you can't help but love yourself. And I also think like detaching a little bit from the body is really important when it comes to self-love, because, and I was just writing this chapter this morning too. It's actually the chapter was love and manifestation. So self-love is so important with manifesting, because if you're not loving every portion of your being, then you're going to have a hard time bringing things in, because you're innately just going to think like, I don't deserve it, or it's not in alignment for me, or who am I to think that I can have that, because you have that underlying bit of self-denial, really. Yeah. But when you detach a little bit from your body and start to create more awareness that you are actually this 20-foot tall, all-powerful, time and space traveling light being.
So cool.
Who can do anything, anywhere, and realize like that's actually you, who you are. And this body is just a vehicle for you to experience life on earth. Then you can start to love your body, because your body is a gift for you to be able to feel and see and hear. It's not who you are. Right. It's a tool for you to use. So if you're not loving up on this body, it's going to start deteriorating, and your ability to experience life on earth is going to diminish. And why would you want that, right? You want to feed your body good food. You want to take care of it. You want to send it good vibrations of love and keep it working. The body has an amazing capacity to regenerate, but only if you're giving it love. If you're telling it hateful things, it will degenerate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of that simple. It's like that experiment with the rice, which I'm sure you've heard of, the three dishes of rice in water. One is given words of love every day. One is given nothing. The other one is given words of hate. And the hated rice turns moldy very quickly. The ignored rice turns moldy a little slower, but the loved rice never gets mold. And I think that, you know, and that's an experiment you can do at home for the power of the words that you tell yourself.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I feel about the body. Like, you just need to love it. Mm-hmm. Love the wrinkles, love the cellulite, love all the things, the hair, whatever you've been given, just love it, because that's your tool to experience this life.
And take care of it.
Yeah, take care of it. Because, you know, it's like tools in the garage. Like, you know, you have a saw that's going to saw wood, and you just thrown it in the dirt. It's not going to saw very well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take care of it.
Those are great analogies.
Yeah, oil that blade. Hang it on the wall. Don't throw it in the dirt.
Give it some love.
Give it some love so that, you know, you can experience just really clean, aligned things that you want, you know, and make your desires and what your soul is actually here to do, make that happen. So I feel so many people are walking around with, you know, in the program desires, they don't really know what they want. It's unclear because they've been, you know, not paying attention to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're kind of dulled. Their blade is dulled.
Yeah. What do you think, speaking of kind of dulled, what do you see for the future as far as light workers and things coming?
I feel like, you know, if you're here and you're a light worker, mostly you're here to upgrade yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's ground zero, because when you upgrade yourself, you just naturally upgrade those around you.
Right.
So that's the real work. And most of the light workers here have just been placed into really horrible situations, because they're the ones who can change it. They have the power to do that. Yeah. Whereas, you know, some of the other beings here are just not, you know, they haven't gone through it already. They're learning for the first time certain things. So having the light workers here and, you know, like wanderers, beings from higher dimensions coming back down to clear these energy lines, I think that's, you know, that's what's happening right now.
Absolutely.
We're having a lot of that happening. A lot of light workers are waking up and being like, oh shit, I guess this is why I'm here. Yeah, that's why you're here. You know, and I think it's fun to hear other, you know, hear from other light workers who are doing it and seeing what kind of experiences they're having and what wisdom they're bringing. Because every time you tell your story, you help some other light worker who's maybe stuck and like, oh, wait, she did it. Yeah. Oh, that's an idea I hadn't thought of. You know, let me implement that. Yeah. And then that shifts the collective. I know that was one of the questions about shifting the collective consciousness. But that's how we do it. It's like each individual one, shift your own consciousness.
Yeah. Making this world such a much better place. It's, you know, it's a perception too. You can look at it as doom and gloom and the negative portions of it, or you can see all the beautiful, such a beautiful changes that are taking place. The people that are coming out, they're discovering their light, you know, they're discovering that like, oh, I got a mission to do. Let's get this done. And let's just bring this into such a peaceful, beautiful place for humans to reside. And it's a cool time to be here.
It is a really cool time to be here. It's kind of like the epic battle, right?
Yeah.
It's like, woohoo, we won. And now it's time to shift into that higher vibration.
Yeah.
Really clear out the cobwebs from the corners and move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very cool.
It is cool.
It's amazing to be here and see it happening. But, you know, it does require some destruction. That's just part of it. The tumultuous nature of rebirth is, you know, death, and you've got to go through that.
Yeah, we have to die inside, die, things have to die to be reborn again. And
yeah,
exciting for me personally to see, how to see all the good light, all the good things, you know, that are happening. And
yeah,
all the things you're doing as well too. So
it's a what?
All the things you're doing as well too, is to help bring all that in. So it's amazing.
Yes, it's amazing. Thank you.
So the concept of jumping timelines is intriguing. Can you explain what this means and how one can consciously navigate these shifts?
Ooh, timeline jumping. Ooh, that's fun. So the infinite universe has all options, right? And there are timelines where you have made an infinite number of choices. And so when you're jumping a timeline, when you consciously choose a new direction, and you very consciously, usually in meditation, collapse the other lines, you cut those cords from your being. Right? It's like a cord cutting of other options, where you're really locking in this new choice that you've made and therefore jumping a timeline. Does that make sense?
It does to me. Yeah. I get it.
Right.
So I want to talk a little bit more about kind of like the cord, because I have listeners who are super advanced in the knowledge of, you know, cord cutting, time jumping, and then there's some that are brand new to it.
Okay, so cord cutting for me is, you know, everything that we do is connected by energy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what creates the web that we live in. So I am connected with you because we're having this conversation. We have an energetic connection right now that some people describe as a silver cord. Right? Mm-hmm. Everyone you've ever had sex with, you have a connection with. Mm-hmm. Anyone you've ever hugged or crossed paths with, if you thought about them in your consciousness, you have a cord with them.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents, your ancestors, places that you've been, you went and you had a cup of coffee at Black Crow, where I like to go, right? Mm-hmm. I have an energetic cord running through there where I walked, in the bookstore, at the coffee shop, in the grocery store. This all creates the web. It's like this crazy tangled web that we live in. So cutting a cord would be removing these cords from yourself. So if you have an old relationship, say, that was tumultuous, and you keep thinking about it, and you're thinking about it, and you're like, you know, it's taking up space in your being still. You can energetically go in and visualize this person and take that cord between you and unplug it from yourself and let it go. Mm-hmm. And that would be a cord cutting. You can do it any which way you want to visualize it. You can dissolve it. You can literally cut it. You can yank it out and throw it. You can maybe change it into something else and let it go from your body. There's many ways to do it, and none of them are wrong. Whatever visualization works for you is the right one. Yeah. Because we're all individual.
That sounds
so that would be a cord cutting.
It's almost like that, creating that emotion, whatever emotion's kind of attached to that too. Do you need to like really push this out, or do you just need to like gently let it go?
Yeah. Here's another manifestation thing that I did not too long ago. I had a sailboat that I was trying to sell, and I was very deeply emotionally attached to it because I worked on it so much. And I also had a dream of living on it and sailing the Caribbean. So it was really attached in my heart, and I was trying to sell it, and I was really having a tough time with it. There was a lot of people very interested, but nobody was pulling the trigger. And finally, somebody said, "Oh, it must be bittersweet for you to sell it." And I was like, oh, yes, it is bittersweet because I'm still attached.
Yeah.
Oh my God, how did I miss this? Right. So I went in energetically and I thanked the boat and I just untethered.
Yeah.
And I let it go and I watched her sail away and I was like, goodbye. You're going to have a beautiful life with somebody else who's going to sail you to the Caribbean. It's not going to be me this time,
yeah.
But I love you and I thank you. And I just let it go. And within a week it was sold.
That's crazy.
After almost a year of having it posted.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it was crazy. Yeah.
Wow. It was like,
power.
You're not letting me go.
Yeah. The power of cord cutting is just, it's magnificent power.
Yeah.
You have to remember to do it. Like, I didn't remember with my boat. I was like, oh, I'm doing all the things. You know, I took beautiful pictures and I made a very nice listing and I had it all written out beautifully so people could go in and see. I had all the videos of the boats. They could really get a good sense of what it was like, but I never had cut that cord.
Yeah.
Like, so I was, a portion of me was still there. And that's another thing about cord cutting, is like when you cut cords, you're calling back pieces of your soul, which if you're going to be very powerful in manifesting, you need all the pieces of your soul back, right? So every portion of your awareness that is living somewhere else, thinking about someone else in some other experience, those are pieces of you that you need to call back. And cord cutting is a powerful way to do that. Relationships are really handled very well with cord cutting, I think, with calling back your pieces from there. But you can also do it with experiences and objects like the boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And trauma too. Like, I was thinking of sexual trauma. That's one of the things that I've worked with a lot, because I have a lot of that in my past. But really calling back those pieces that maybe you think were taken from you in, say, a rape situation, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a woman or a man who's been raped, and it's like, it can destroy a part of you, right? And you think that you're broken, but you're only broken because you're allowing it. And when you take that back from there, and you can go in, you can cut the cords, you can also go in and reimagine, rewrite that situation, which is another way of jumping timelines. You just go into the past and rework that whole scenario and bring that forward so that it's a whole different path, a whole different choice, and then cut that cord and let it go and reclaim those pieces of yourself and know that you didn't leave any power back there. Nobody took anything from you because no one actually can take anything from you. You have to give.
Yeah.
If you're not giving a piece of yourself, they can't take it. So it's that what you allow is what will continue. You've allowed them to take it. You've unknowingly given it.
We're talking power. I just want to clarify that. We're not talking situations happen that are out of people's control. So I want to clarify that what you're saying is not like you allow bad situations to happen. It's
no
after they so happen.
A bad situation. Yeah. So a bad situation that happened to you, there's nothing that you can do about that.
Yeah.
But you can call your energy back from that. Right. So you don't allow your energy to be taken by that anymore.
Right.
That's the part of the calling back and the allowing. It's allowing your energy to be wrapped up in this old event that you had no control over. Right? Because these things happen and we don't have control over them, you know, especially if stuff happened to you when you were a kid, you have no control over that. There's a lot of that, you know, and how do you go back to your childhood and take back your power? But you were a child, you just didn't even know, right? So something was taken from you that you didn't know that you were allowing because you were a child, but now you're an adult and you can energetically go back to that situation, rewrite it, and reclaim the energy that is lingering there. Bring it back to yourself. Cut that cord, rework the past, and jump that timeline and reassimilate those pieces back into your own soul. And in that way, calling back your power.
I love that you said that. Nobody can take your power away from you unless you give it to them.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I learned when I was working with sex magic for the very first time and realizing the power that is contained in the human body and that all of your experiences are ultimately you. It's that radical responsibility again. And if you're allowing somebody else to control you from the outside, a situation that happened 20 years ago, or when you were a child, or 2 years ago, if you're allowing that to still affect you, you're giving it your power without realizing it. Pulling that back creates just a massive amount of power in your being. And then you realize that no one ever has the power over you. You always have the power.
Yeah.
And you can't, no one can take that. You can gift it to somebody, but they can't take it. And I think that is one of the very high level secrets of energy, really, because we are programmed to give it and actually not know that you even have the power of choice when it comes to energy specifically.
Yeah.
Right. So there's entities all over sucking your energy and you don't really know it. Like you don't know because you're not thinking about it because we're in this world and we're thinking about our glasses and our coffee, right? We're not thinking like, oh, the energy that's just emanating off of my being is power.
Yeah.
And if I'm not controlling it, somebody else will.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If I'm allowing somebody else to control it because I'm not taking control, those are the two options. Either you're in control or someone else is in control.
Yeah.
And that goes back to that web. So when we have all these silver threads, right, connecting us to everything, or golden, they can be golden or silver, however you see, they can be red lasers, whatever you want, it could be roots, right? But there's that connectivity. So one very powerful thing to do is remove all the threads and then consciously create your own. And that is the power of timeline jumping, right? You're removing all the threads from everything. Now you've gotten rid of them all: past relationships, family relationships, boats, cars, friends, everything gone. Just remove them all. And then say, what do I want to attach to? What do I want to claim as mine? And consciously make a thread and connect it to that desire.
It's almost like you can't connect those, what you want, until you disconnect everything else. Because if you're so connected to everything else, you're still confusing in what you want until you disconnect those things out.
Yeah, you're being pulled in too many different directions. So yeah, once you disconnect, then you can reconnect, and then you start to build your own web. This is what I call becoming the spider. You're no longer a bug living in someone else's web.
Yeah.
You've become the spider, and now you're going to weave your own intentional web.
I love it.
Yeah, spiders are really cool. I mean, they create these amazing webs every night, right? It's a beautiful art.
Yeah.
But they catch the flies and bugs, right? That's not the bug's web. They're just stuck in there. They're like, wait, what's going on? Like, I don't know what's going on. So when we have all these attachments to life and society and our past experiences, when we didn't have control and we didn't claim radical responsibility, we are the bug stuck in that web, being torn and pulled apart in all different directions. And none of it is our creation. So when we become the spider, we just take control of that and create consciously and create a design that we want.
I love that. Create consciously. I think that's the theme of this: creating consciously.
Yeah. Choose. You get to choose.
Such a freeing emotion to me.
Choosing.
That's just the freedom to choose. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The freedom to choose and create whatever you want. Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
That is pretty freaking cool. When you really think about it, really sit with it, you're like, wow, you don't have to be in the same situations. You can create whatever you want in your life. And
yeah, I mean, you can start right now, wherever you are, drop all the cords, cut them all, like a nice haircut, right? From all over your body, and just literally choose whatever you want.
Yeah.
And create a new attachment to that and pull it in. Yeah, pull it in, pull it right in.
Bring it in.
Right?
Yeah,
I think that's awesome. It's like life is a huge virtual reality. Choose your own adventure.
Yes. And then knowing that it can happen.
Yeah. And that I feel like comes with practice.
Oh, absolutely. When you start, it's always like I tell people, start something small.
Yeah.
Don't go for the huge, large, big, grander thing, because you're not ready for that yet. You have to start small, because when you're proven that you can handle the small things, so God's sending in the bigger things. He's like, why, whatever you call it, like, why would I give you something so large that you don't even believe is ready? You're ready. You don't believe for yourself. But when you start handling the smaller things.
Yeah, I feel like when you start handling the smaller things, like years ago, I needed a white couch. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to manifest a white couch, because I'm not going to go buy one. So I worked on it for like 3 days and one just showed up in my awareness. And somebody called me and was like, you know, there's this couch over here. Do you want it? And I was like, what color is it? And they're like, it's white. I was like, no way. I knew that. Yes, I want it. And it was just really cool. And you know, when you start to work with small things like that, you might think, oh, is that just a coincidence? Or did I really do that? And the more you do the little things, the more your belief will solidify in your being, and you'll start to know, like, no, I did do that. Yeah. I did do that because I did it last time and the time before that and the time before that. Yeah. And that's no longer a coincidence. Yeah. You know, once might be a coincidence, twice might be a coincidence, but as you keep working intentionally, doing the little things and just inch them up to bigger and bigger things, you just know that you're doing it.
Yeah.
Because you have the proof of numbers behind you.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's, you have to build your confidence up too, in order to, I feel like manifesting is partial confidence, like being confident enough to know that you have the abilities to do that.
Yeah. Confident in your ability. And I feel like that's where the metrics come in, right? Yeah. It's like your Google Analytics. How you tried to manifest 5 things. How many things actually happened? You're like, all 5. I'm like, okay, that's a good track record. 5 out of 5.
It's a 5-star right? review.
5-star review. Yeah. Yeah. So if you just keep working on that, you will, your belief in yourself will start to ground down, and your ability to manifest larger and larger things will start to happen. And it's always good to push yourself just a little bit out of your comfort zone too.
Absolutely.
Right. Have 2 things happening, like a little thing that you can manifest and then like a bigger thing.
Yeah.
That's the path I like to do, like a small thing and a big thing. Like, let's see, you know, the small thing will keep you knowing that it's working. And the big thing can be like just something that's a little bit scary that you're like, I don't know, can I do this? But the small thing will be like, yeah, you can do this.
Yeah.
And it'll keep you going. Yeah. Well, it's fun. Yeah, it's very playful and fun when you really get into it.
Yeah, it's kind of like, what can I do today? What do I want today?
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to really filling in why you want that. It can be fun to manifest things just for, like you said, just to be, you know, keep up. I can do this. I can do this. Right. But again, really filling into you, like the big thing.
Yeah.
Really feeling
the big thing I feel like has to be in more alignment. It's not like, oh, yeah, strawberry ice cream today. Let's manifest that.
Yeah.
You know,
drive to Publix.
Yeah. Run down to Publix. Yeah. But the bigger thing definitely has to be in more alignment. And I think one of the things about soul alignment when we're talking about big manifestations is that always, if it's aligned with your soul, unless you're a negative oriented being, which is a possibility, but most of us are positively oriented, your soul desire will always be in the benefit of everybody. So you never, your soul desire is never going to be including bad things happening to other people.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're in a state of revenge, like if you're like, I'm going to get that person back, you know, you probably are not going to be able to manifest that, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because it's just not aligned with your soul.
Yeah. The reflection for all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always to the benefit of all beings.
Well, thank you so much for coming out. This has been such, I don't know, I always say it's always such a good conversation, but it's just been a magical conversation.
yes.
Talking and learning more about your stuff. Obviously your book, it will be in the show notes, links to everything they can do to everybody can contact you with as well. So
thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you. It's super fun. This is my favorite conversation to have.